The following podcast is from Tabernacle Baptist Church in Cartersville, Georgia. Thanks for listening.
Church family, if you have a copy of God's Word with you, I want to invite you to find your place in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 1, the first book of the New Testament. And this morning we're going to look at one verse in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 1, and verse 23 this morning. As I hear on Christmas Eve morning, speak on the subject of Emmanuel. There's a lot of names given to Jesus in the Bible, and one of them is this name, Emmanuel. The story of Christmas that we celebrate this Christmas is the story of God bringing his people into a right relationship with himself through his son, the God-man, Jesus Christ. When you read the Bible, you find over and over again that the Lord repeats the following words concerning his people. The Lord says these words over and over again, "You shall be my people, and I will be your God. You shall be my people, and I will be your God." We read these words in great passages like Genesis 17, 7 through 8, Exodus 6, 7, Deuteronomy 4:20, Jeremiah 7:23. It's repeated over and over again in the Bible. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now, those words were often uttered to ancient Israel during the times of the Old Testament, but those words had their full meaning, their full fulfillment in the person we celebrate this Christmas, Jesus Christ. In his birth in Bethlehem, Jesus brought to full fulfillment these words, "You shall be my people, and I will be your God." Christ's birth over 2,000 years ago was the world-changing event through which God brought his people near to himself. The Bible speaks of these realities in many different terms, in many different words, through many different stories, but this name Emmanuel this morning is something I want us to focus on. This name Emmanuel encapsulates the meaning of Christmas. This name Emmanuel gets to the root meaning of Christ's birth in Bethlehem. Interestingly, this name only appears three times in Scripture. Three times. And one appearance of this name is found in our text this morning, Matthew 1, 23. There we read of the angelic announcement to Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. But we know he wasn't born biologically through Joseph. He was born through miracles of miracles, the virgin birth. When the angel announced to Joseph the birth of Jesus, he said, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Everybody say that beautiful name, Emmanuel. Here's one of the references to Emmanuel in the Bible. This is the only New Testament mention of this name. The other two mentions of this name appear in the Old Testament. And in Matthew 1, 23, the angel was quoting from Isaiah 7, 14. Isaiah 7, 14, where the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." That's the second reference, well, really first in time, Isaiah 7, 14. First in the Bible, the first reference in the Bible to Emmanuel. The next would come in Isaiah 8, 8. So three times this title is mentioned in the Bible, Isaiah 7, 14, Isaiah 8, 8, in Matthew 1, 23. Now in Isaiah 7, 14 and 8, 8, this title is used of a man who was to be born back in Isaiah's day, and this man's name was Mahar Shalal Hashbaz. That's a hard name to say. Say it three times really fast, class. Mahar Shalal Hashbaz. Now, this was a real man born in Isaiah's day. During a time of great national calamity and distress for Israel, the Lord appeared through the prophet Isaiah and announced a man would be born of a young woman, this Mahar Shalal Hashbaz. The Lord appeared and announced through the prophet Isaiah, this man will be born during a time of great national calamity and catastrophe in order to bring peace, provision, protection, and the presence of God for God's people. Now, critics of Scripture, critics of Christianity, critics of the Bible often point out that Matthew 1:23 quotes Isaiah 7:14 in reference to Jesus. But critics would say, Matthew quoted this verse in a mistaken way, an error. Why? Because the verse originally referred to Mahar Shalal Hashbaz. So what's the deal? Was the angel wrong to apply this verse to Jesus? Why would Isaiah use the title Emmanuel to speak of a real political ruler in his day, and then Matthew took liberty to apply this title to Jesus? Well, critics of the Bible miss and don't understand something we call typology. Typology. We're going to dig a little bit deep this morning on Christmas Eve. What is typology? Everybody say that word, typology. Typology is something used in the Old Testament, wherein God, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, led the authors of the Bible, the prophets, to use ceremonies, symbols, events as what we would call types that pointed forward to Jesus. See, in all of the ceremonies of the Old Testament temple, you had types that preached a sermon, object lessons that pointed forward to the Christmas story, the coming of the babe in Bethlehem. See, before time began, God had in his mind a plan to redeem a people for himself. After Adam and Eve sinned, as early as the Garden of Eden, the Lord in Genesis 3:15 announced Christmas, the coming of Christ. And then throughout the Old Testament, you have a nation, you have patriarchs, you have laws, you have ceremonies that all, through the majesty and mystery of God, pointed forward to the coming of Christ. We call this typology. Jesus spoke of typology in John's gospel when he said, I'm the bread of the wilderness. I'm the living water that came from the rock. So throughout the Old Testament, is the Old Testament valuable today? You bet you. It's all given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And though it's hard to understand at times, there are all types of beautiful, mysterious, majestic types that point to Christ. And then with this one, Mahar Shalal Hashbaz, we had a type. You see, in Isaiah's day, the nation was facing great calamity and catastrophe. But the Lord, through the prophet, promised a king to be born who would bring peace and prosperity for his people. And this man was ultimately a type of our glorious King, Jesus. That although because of sin, we live in a world of catastrophe and calamity, God, in his great grace and love, sent Christ to deal with our biggest problem, our sin. The promised Mahar Shalal Hashbaz, Emmanuel in Isaiah's day was ultimately an object lesson that pointed to Christ, Jesus Christ, the babe born in Bethlehem. Just as Mahar Shalal Hashbaz was a help for God's people during a time of great distress, Christ was born for us to bring help to us in all of our distress because of sin. This is the meaning of Emmanuel. And sometimes at Christmas, we miss the full weight of these things. We get caught up in the commercialism of culture, or we get caught up in a basic Christmas story that we've heard, but we miss the truth of Emmanuel, God with us. In the midst of catastrophe and calamity, God with us, coming to bring us peace for our souls and all the promises of God for life. This morning, I want us to consider the meaning of Emmanuel. And I believe this is important because if you and I don't grasp the meaning of Emmanuel, Christ with us, we'll perhaps miss out on the purpose and direction that the truth of Christ brings to our life. If our minds aren't enlightened to understand Jesus' role as Emmanuel, we will perhaps leave here this morning, Christmas Eve, without any hope and help for our sins. If we don't understand the meaning of Emmanuel, we'll go throughout life with little light, little joy, little peace, no true godly joy and contentment. What does it mean for Jesus to be Emmanuel? Well, I want us to observe five realities that flow from the title Emmanuel this morning. Number one, Emmanuel teaches us that Jesus is more than a man. The title Emmanuel is a transliteration, not a translation, a transliteration for the Hebrew word used in Isaiah 7:14. Literally, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Notice that the title means, as the angel told Joseph, or more correctly, when if you look at Matthew 1:23, when the angel made the announcement, look in your Bible, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel." Then Matthew interpreted the Hebrew title for his readers in parentheses, which means God with us. So notice the nature of Jesus. Matthew didn't interpret Emmanuel as a teacher with us. Matthew didn't interpret the name as a philosopher with us. Matthew didn't interpret the name as meaning a thought leader with us, or a moral example with us, or a leader with us, or a self-help guru with us. No, he interpreted and translated the name rightly. Jesus is God with us. The Christmas message is a message about a divine visitation. The eternal one, the infinite one, invaded the space-time continuum of human history and lived amongst us. God wanted to dwell amongst us, and Jesus was God. And because Jesus was God, he was more than a man, we have hope of the divine presence, divine protection, divine provision, divine promises, and divine peace throughout all of life. A mere man could never bring us all the promises of God to our souls. We needed God to come to earth. Lee Strobel has written a neat little book called The Case for Christmas. Lee Strobel, if you don't know his story, was converted to Christ after seeking to disprove Christianity. And in all of his research, he approached his arguments from a legal courtroom perspective. He came to the conclusion that indeed Christ was the God-man. He was saved Lee Strobel was saved, a born-again believer now. He's written many books in the field of what we would call Christian apologetics, defending and arguing for the Christian faith as total truth for all of life. He says this in his book, The Case for Christmas. Yes, Christmas is a holiday overlaid with all sorts of fanciful beliefs, from flying reindeer to Santa Claus sliding down chimneys. But I became convinced that if you drill down to its core, Christmas is based on historical reality. The incarnation, God becoming man, spirit taking on flesh, the infinite entering the finite, the eternal becoming time bound. This is the Christmas message. Because you needed God to come to earth to do something for you and your sins that you could not do. You needed him to live amongst you, to live the perfect life you could never live, to die for your sins, and then to be raised, to put away sin and all the power sin has over your life. What does this title, Emmanuel, teach us? Well, it teaches us that Jesus is more than a man, but number two, it teaches us that God desires to be near to us. Or you can make it personal and say, God desires to be near to me. If you were to study theology beyond the bounds of Christianity, if you were to go to Georgia Highlands College or any other college or any other university and take your entry to religion class, you would learn that there are two concepts that most world religions have in relation to God. Many world religions teach for God's nature in relation to what we could call the transcendence of God and the immanence of God. Stay with me. The transcendence of God teaches that God is high and lofty. God is above and beyond his creation. The transcendence of God is a doctrine held by Christianity. It teaches us that a vast gulf separates humanity from God. This is true because of God's nature. He is infinite and eternal. He is a consuming fire. He dwells in unapproachable light. No eye has seen him or can fully see him. Thus, he is transcendent, removed from his created order. This is true because of his holiness, but it's also true because of our sinfulness and our finite, limited nature. None can ascend up into the presence of God. God created the earth in the midst of a vast universe. Why did he hang outer space and all of the stars, countless stars, in countless galaxies? Well, he had to place the black vastness of outer space between us and him because he is transcendent. So when we speak about God, we speak of his transcendence. We can also speak of his immanence. This simply means God is near. Transcendence, everybody say transcendence. God is far. Imminence, everybody say imminence. God is near. Now study world religions and you'll find that apart from Christianity, most world religions lean towards one of these ideas in an unhealthy way. I can remember speaking to a Muslim man on one occasion when I began to speak about the love of God and having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He said, I could never speak of Allah in these terms. God is too high, Allah is too high and lofty to have anything to do with me in a personal sense. So Islam errs on the side of transcendence. Other world religions like Hinduism err on the side of immanence. They see God as being in everything or everything being God. Panentheism. Now, Christianity, here's what I want you to get this morning, strikes a perfect balance between the transcendence of God and the immanence of God. And it does it through this title for Jesus, Emmanuel. Christianity holds the truth of God being holy and above and beyond us in one hand, yet it holds the truth of God being near us in another hand. And the truth of the Christmas story tells us these things are so. The very God who is high and holy, who inhabits eternity, came to earth to live and to dwell amongst us through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. God sits enthroned over the circle of the earth, but God was also born as a babe in Bethlehem. These things teach us that God desires to be near to us. Throughout life, we should always remember, because of Emmanuel, that God is high and holy, but God desires to be near to us. We can always have confidence in life that the Holy One who inhabits eternity desires to be in our hearts and in our lives. We never have to have fear in life of being alone. Creator God is just a prayer away. We're not doing life in our own strength through our own flesh. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit of Christ lives within your soul. Emmanuel is within your being right now. Because of the Christmas story, we can always pray with the psalmist, Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and our strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. I ask you this Christmas Eve, do you know these things? Do you know that God desires to be near to you? I ask you, not only do you know these things, but do you feel these things in your soul? Do you know what it's like to live life in the presence of the Lord? Do you know what it's like to have Jesus as a comforter, to have Jesus as your wisdom, to have Jesus as your help in time of need? One Bible scholar has said, too often, those who have rightly contended for Jesus' full deity have created a God to whom they do not feel close. Oh, this should not be so when we consider the truth of Emmanuel. The truth of Emmanuel teaches us, yes, God is high and holy, but it also teaches us God is near. And through all of the trials, all of the sufferings, all of the difficulties we face in life, we have a guide by our side, and we have a helper for every hurt. I ask you, do you know the Lord like this? Do you know Jesus like this? Number three this morning, the truth of Emmanuel teaches us that Jesus bridges the gap between me or us and God. Jesus bridges the gap between me and God. This is the reality of life. You are finite. You are bound by space and time. You are corruptible, that is, one day you will perish and you will be no more. God is absolutely righteous, eternal, and perfect. He's infinite, you're finite. He's holy, you're unholy as a human. As a result, there's no way for you to have a relationship with Him through your own effort or abilities. The realities associated with Emmanuel, however, are what bridge the gap between you and God. If you even look at the name Emmanuel, and I believe we have a graphic to depict this for the screens, if you just look at the name Emmanuel, it actually paints a picture of these realities. You see, the meaning of the name from Matthew 1:23, God with us. And with those words, you see God on one side and us on the other side. And you see the preposition with serving like a bridge to bring us to God. I love the preposition with. If you notice in our next slide, the title doesn't say God against us or God over us. It says God with us. Jesus, this title Emmanuel, teaches, though we are sinners, we were brought to a sinless God through Christ. Though we are unrighteous, we were brought to a righteous God through the life, death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Though we were separated from God, Jesus Christ bridged the gap. We have another picture here that demonstrates what the Lord Jesus Christ, as Emmanuel, did. There was a vast chasm, a vast gulf between us and God because of our sins, our imperfection, our finite nature. But God invaded the space-time continuum of human history, lived among us a perfect life on behalf of our imperfect lives, died absorbing all of God's wrath for sins, and then he was raised, demonstrating he was indeed God and demonstrating he's a life giver to all who believe and trust in him for salvation. The scriptures say in Romans 5, 6 through 8, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know these things this Christmas season? Have you been changed by them? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know God? Have you embraced Christ as your only hope of salvation from sins? This is the meaning of the name Emmanuel. Number four this morning, this title Emmanuel teaches us that Jesus' presence gives us boldness in life. Later in Matthew's gospel, if you were to turn to Matthew 28, Jesus made allusion to this title, Emmanuel. He didn't use the name Emmanuel. We've already noted that it's only used three times in the Bible. But in the very last verse of Matthew's gospel, Jesus told his disciples to teach everything he had commanded his disciples. And then he made this statement, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The early church undoubtedly talked about this promise from Jesus a lot. Jesus promised, I'll never leave you. And we believe that the first Christians talked amongst themselves about this promise a lot. You can imagine them saying, have you heard that before Jesus was taken up from the disciples, he said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age? We know the early church, or we believe the early church talked about this a lot, because in the book of Hebrews, we read this instruction from the author of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 13. He said, keep your life free from love of money. So this is like real practical teaching. Avoid materialism. Be content with what you have. So learn contentment, gratitude in life. Don't be consumed by the love of money. This is practical stuff related to the Christian life. And then he gave an admonition in the midst of this. He said, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The title Emmanuel is something for our daily lives, and it teaches us that God is always with us. For every hurt and hang up, we have the Holy Spirit's help. For every type of suffering or sickness we face, we always have God who is near. For every problem and pain, we can call out to God. He's proved that he desires to be amongst us through Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem. If you ever wonder, does God really care? Does God really hear me? Let your mind go back to Bethlehem and remember that he came and lived amongst you, and let this give you boldness in life. Lastly, and I'll close with this, the truth of Emmanuel, number five, teaches us that we will be with Jesus in the future. Or if you want to say it in a personal way, I will be with Jesus in the future. We referenced Revelation 23 last week, 21 verse 3 last week. It's worth referencing again. John, when he received a revelation of the end of times, he received a vision of what the eternal state will be like when God makes the earth new. He said in Revelation 21:3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will be with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. We talked last week about how this word dwell was the word for tabernacle presence in the Old Testament. It's a word that was used of a tent, a temporary shelter. I can remember, I believe it was a Christmas one year. Apparently, camping was the theme and the gifts as a teenager. It was a Coleman Christmas. I got a Coleman lantern, a Coleman sleeping bag, a Coleman tent. I remember that Christmas and those gifts. Camping, a tent. Now, when we think of a tent, we think of a temporary shelter. I hardly ever pull out a tent to use it. Not a big camper. A tent's not something I'm going to use on a regular basis. For me, when I think of a tent, I think of a temporary shelter, something you only use every once in a while. If you're familiar with the Bible, however, let your mind go back to the wilderness wanderings. The people of God, during the time of Moses, before they went into the promised land, lived for 40 years in tents. A tent for the children of Israel in the wilderness was a place of their permanent dwelling. A tent had ideas in their minds of permanent dwelling because no matter where you lived, you could take your tent with you. A tent was always readily available to provide shelter and protection. And so when John uses this imagery of Christ at the end of time, he's not trying to paint a picture of a temporary residence, as we may suppose, with a tent. Instead, he's aiming to say, Christ will always be with us. We will dwell with him forever. This is the truth of Psalm 90, verse 1. From generation to generation, O Lord, you have been our dwelling place. And when we've been there 10,000 years, this will be our song. Because of Christmas, because of Emmanuel, for millions and millions of years, Christ will be our dwelling place. We'll never be alone. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more problems. There'll be no more wars. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more finite human flesh. It'll be Christ and his perfect peace, provision, and protection forever. Amen. And this is the truth of Christmas. And I ask you this morning, do you know these things? Has your heart, has your mind been changed by these things? Have your patterns of thinking, have your affections, what you want, been changed by the realities of Christ? Do you know God is more than a concept? Do you know him as Emmanuel? Do you know the Lord is more than a book or doctrine you've read about? Do you know him as God with you? I invite you this Christmas season, if you don't know Christ and his forgiveness of sins, receive him. Call out to God who loves you and confess your sin and ask him through Jesus to wash you of all of that sin that separates you from God. I invite you this Christmas season, if you are a believer, draw near to this Emmanuel and make him the center of your life. Find hope and help in him this Christmas season.
For more information, visit us online at tabernaclebaptist.org. Thanks for listening.